What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Hello, everyone. It's Dream, the Cape Verdean Queen.
It's Rick, the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And it's the Culture Report presented by the GODS Show. And, you know, when we do the Culture Report, we like to bring in special, interesting guests. This is the most interesting guest we've ever had. He is 7'2". I don't know how many pounds, but he big as a motherfucker.
He's tall. I had to look up when I said
he's 7'2". He's a real 7'2". He's not like 7'2" with sneakers on. When my man David me about you, he was like, I'm like, yo, I don't even see people like that walking the earth. And then all of a sudden, here you come. Let's give it up for Chosen from WAWE Wrestling. Let's go. He's from Canada, and he's on the Culture Report. And we're going to talk about this beef. And who knows beef more than a nigga that gets paid to fight in the ring every day? You have a whole different opinion. We're just going to see, guys, if he's not biased. We're going to see if he's not biased. And we're going to get into it. So I'm going to throw the ball to Dream. Dream, yes, let's get into it.
Okay, so on the blogs, we got Ja Rule.
This is KG set it up. Y'all know what we want to talk about. But let's go. I love it.
We got Ja Rule coming out saying, I know how it feels to have beef with the whole industry. Basically compare himself to Drake, saying Drake has beef with the whole industry. So like how 50 had beef with Drake, he knows how it feels. So what do you think? Do you think that Drake's beef and Ja Rule's beef is comparable?
Fuck no. What y'all say? Y'all don't get...
No, nah.
Ja Rule is a very interesting case because we love them, and we kind of still want to love them, but he just says dumb shit to remind us that we love them, and we don't love that person no more, bro. We saw 50 Cent kill you. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like, it's weird to me when Ja Rule speaks about, first of all, 120, and let's be clear, Ja Rule's was a self-inflicted wound. Mm-hmm. Ja Rule's was a self-inflicted wound. Irv Gotti deliberately, like, he was calling labels saying, if you fuck with 50, you're not going to fuck with us.
Yeah.
And you're working against God's plan at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically trying to blackball him.
You're trying to blackball him, and you're not God. And then 50 Cent must have had a better deal with his God, because he came on your ass. I was going to say to y'all, what's the worst beef track to you, Chosen? The worst beef track in rap history. He's from Toronto, everyone. So if he says back-to-back, we have to give him a pass because he's from Toronto. But I want to know your opinion.
No, I mean, back-to-back was good, I thought. shoot, man.
Back-to-back.
Nah. So what it... Pusha came back at him with two different ones, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I feel like if you come at anyone who's in film or like in the TV business in general, and you use something that they're a character on in one of their, you know,
yes,
working.
Yes.
Kinda, I mean, beefs are about low blows and stuff, but that's really like, that's not that person. That's that person playing a character, right?
So it's Wheelchair like, Jimmy.
Wheelchair Jimmy is one, which I also went for that same part.
Hold on, what? Man, you too damn big to be Wheelchair Jimmy, man.
Okay, so.
You the people, how you standing up?
So you actually grew up with Drake.
Well, grew up in the same city and we're the same age. Okay, so, okay. You get called to an audition, it was me seeing Drake and a bunch of other light-skinned 12, 13-year-olds. Okay. You know what I mean? So,
Follow when you tall? When you tall?
I was tall, but I wasn't that tall at that point. And
got
then
you.
I was kind of upset because after callback, and then it finally ends up that, oh, we're going with Drake. But really, it wasn't because you weren't reading the lines the right way, because by the third, fourth callback, you're reading it with people who are already on the show. But the thing was, I was too taller than the girl that I was supposed to be.
Yeah, height matters.
But I'm like, and then he ends up in a wheelchair. And I'm like, oh, so it was about height, and then we're going to take it down.
Yeah, but you would have still been her height if you would have been in the wheelchair.
Probably, yeah.
So,
I was always tall, but I grew 8 inches after high school, right? So I was tall. Like, I'd always be the tallest in our class.
What did you eat?
I was just growing.
You know, motherfuckers want to grow bad as a motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went from 6'5 to 7'2. You know what I mean? Like, it was a big, and that's from 18 to 20. So, like, I was always like tallest in my class, whatever, by a couple inches.
Yeah. I just had a growth sprout.
So
that's
I want to ask you
crazy.
What made you choose wrestling? And I'm asking that for a reason, because I think wrestling has figured out what the rest of the world is finally trying to catch up to, right? Where it was like, you know, like I was telling Chosen a story about how I remember being a kid, and I remember when Andre the Giant turned on Hulk Hogan. Like, that shit was like, I thought my parents was getting a fucking divorce. Like, it was like, what the fuck you mean they're against each other? And you know, the whole time people know it's fake, but then we still buy into it, which teaches us all. It's not about if it's real or fake. It's about the characters and how characters they interact with each other. Yeah. The characters and the storyline. Mm-hmm. So what made you want to get into wrestling, bro?
So growing up with the, you know, the acting background as a kid, going to these auditions, being in little commercials here and there, TV shows, that was the acting part that got me interested. You know, wrestling is all storytelling, like you're saying, getting people emotionally involved in what you're doing. That's all cool. I did plays and stuff growing up. Something about live theater is a lot different. So wrestling mixes all these things in. I'm an athlete. I grew up playing hockey, lacrosse, basketball eventually, soccer. We're doing all these things. I'm the youngest of four. I have two older brothers who are super physical.
Yeah.
Mm. One played in the NHL, has over 500 hockey fights.
Oh, wow.
We're a big physical family.
Fights.
Hockey fights.
I love it.
It's like a very exclusive club. As far as
500
like,
hockey fights.
Hockey, there's a lot of tough guys, but to have 500 plus is like a...
So I didn't even know they kept up with the fights.
Oh, yeah.
So they know how many fights they have per season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so
that's a real stat.
Can I tell you something about hockey that's very interesting to me? Is that in sports, like in the NBA, if you say a bad word, in sports, if you do one thing bad. But in hockey, it's like when they're about to fight, it's like,
let them go.
The referees, everybody just kind of chill, like, oh, they about to fight real quick. Oh, yeah. It's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, we came to see these motherfuckers hit a puck in, and now we're going to wait 3 minutes for them to fuck each other up. Like, who is that like in hockey?
It's just part of the game. Like, it has a bigger impact on the game than you would realize, too. Like,
please, teach us. Like, take us to the space. I want to understand it.
I'll do it real quick. But I'm saying, so say this is Toronto against Philly. If I'm playing for Toronto and I'm the tough guy and I fight, oftentimes right after I fight and I beat the guy, my team will score shortly after that. It changes the momentum of the whole game. So it's like a lot of people don't realize that, too. A lot of the fans are saying, oh, I want to see them fight and blah, blah. But like it's so ingrained in the game that the whole energy shifts after your fighter will win. So it's like,
what?
Make him like want to go harder in the game?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, so say you're like a really skilled player and you're not one that would fight. Now you know I got your back. So you're not worried. Maybe you're taking more riskier moves on what you're doing to try to score. That you're rushing their net. You're really messing up their goalie because, look, I got that big, you know, he goes.
Let me ask you
what he did.
How do we know? I'm like really curious about this shit. Like, I'm sorry. How do we know it's fight time? Like, cause when it's fight time, it's like, so is it like, it's like, yo, hold the game real quick. I want to fight this nigga. Yeah. Let's go. Is it like that? Or is it like I just, how does that work?
So sometimes it'll be one of your really skilled players and someone will give him a cheap shot. So like right away, you can't have any of that. I'm a tough guy on the bench, I might even jump over the boards to go get him.
Okay, so you're in the game. Somebody just gave me a cheap shot.
That's
you're the
like
tough
one
guy.
Example. So another one would be if we're down. So say we're losing 1-0 or 2-0.
Yeah.
Our team's down. My coach might give me the tap and say, yo, we need that momentum shift now. You go
a
out
fight?
There, pick whoever you want. Usually the tough guys have a kind of a code of honor. They'll pick the other toughest guy. But if not, sometimes a situation that guy might not be on, you just grab someone and just ragdoll.
Is it like a timeout in the NBA where they like 30 second timeout? Like, all right, 30 second fight.
So both guys who fight will get 5 minute penalties, but it's even. So usually like there'll be a penalty on one side and the other team has an advantage for 2 minutes because
they're
man down.
So when you go into the fight, you know we're about to get 5 minutes.
They both get 5.
How much time do we have to fight?
It's really unlimited. There's no time on that, but it usually stops when someone loses their balance. Someone goes down, it's usually over.
I'm sorry, my artist is walking 11. He's from Toronto.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so we talking about, he played hockey. So we talking about like how they fought in hockey.
Oh.
Did you ever play hockey?
A little bit. I'm from Canada. It's a must.
Yeah.
Really?
Everyone grows up with a stick in their hand. Like when I tell people.
So Drake can play hockey?
If he can't, it's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, because you grow up like.
Man, if I was him, I would add that to the battle. Nigga, that would be a secret weapon I pull out, nigga. What, nigga?
The hockey puck.
What, nigga? I'm like, nigga, what's up? Me and you, hockey, nigga. Let's meet in the ring, nigga. Put your, like, what?
People always freak out when I tell them I grew up playing hockey and lacrosse. They're like, why not basketball? Well, I didn't always know I was going to be 7'2".
Right.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Toronto, and I grew up in a hockey family. I was playing hockey at 2-3 years old.
What's Toronto's team?
Interesting.
Maple Leafs.
Y'all take them seriously, mother, don't you?
Yeah.
But now, since the Raptors won a few years ago, the culture's changed a little in the city. You'll see kids like, When I was growing up, it's all street hockey. We played hockey on the street literally with nets. And a car comes, okay, you put the net aside. Now it's, you see like more hoopers out there since the Raptors won. So wow, the culture's shifting a bit. But it'll always be hockey. But it's like
I the just, Raptors you know, winning was really big. I didn't know that hockey was your number one sport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that's what everyone kind of
known. Yeah, it's known for hockey.
Yeah, but I never knew that.
But that was we thought that was the white Canadians.
Yeah, but
I didn't know it was the black Canadians. I'm like, I'm just being honest with you. Like, I knew it was a sport, but I didn't know black. Like, I didn't know it was like in the, in America, you got to know how to hit a ball, throw a ball, catch a ball, shoot a ball, run with a ball. You just got to learn how to do that because you're going to have to do it. But hockey?
So it's changing a ton. Like, so when my brother, my oldest brother, Sean, got drafted to NHL, he was the 23rd black person to play in the NHL at that point. But the difference between, so one before him, so 22nd, that was like a 7-year gap or something crazy. Mm. So now it's like we get multiple brothers that are playing. Like a lot of the good players are black players. And I don't know what their number they're at now, but my brother's draft was 2003. So like we're talking 21 years later. Wow. So it's probably a ton more now. Like I don't watch it as much so they don't play anymore, but I just.
You watch Hockey 11?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I cannot believe that shit.
I watch hockey.
You just taught me something.
See,
I just know.
I only watch hockey because the Boston Bruins. The Bruins, and they used to go hard.
I'll say, I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you a question. I just got to ask you.
Yeah.
Top your chosen's top five wrestlers all time from five to one. I'll go with you, by the way.
Okay. Five to one?
Five to one. Ooh. Well, one being number one.
Right.
And the other five. Give me your top five wrestlers all time.
So top five, I got to go.
Is this number one or number five?
This is number five.
Okay,
I'm going to start five and go.
Let's go.
So Big Show. So the Giant. So Andre the Giant's son in the storyline.
Big Show. Yes.
I forgot about
it. It's a Big Show. Yeah. So Big Show, a little biased on that too, because he's one of our coaches at AEW as well.
Oh, like
he does color commentary for us. He gave me my first pair of wrestling boots. We wear the same size shoes.
Oh,
So it's kind of like a little biased, but he's great though.
He was his storyline was he was supposed to be related to Andre the Giant.
He's supposed to be Andre's son. Yeah.
Andre's son. That was supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's not though.
He's not.
That's why I love wrestling, man.
It's kayfabe.
Like it was 2-1 Undertakers, it's Kane and Undertaker. It's they love it. Okay, so Big Show is number five.
So five, I'm gonna go Show. I'm gonna go with one. His name's Jay Lethal. You might not even know that one.
Not yet.
So he's a brother. He's extremely skilled for what he does. He does a lot of like acrobatic stuff. Also a coach of mine, so a little bias. Jay Lethal. So third, we're gonna go my all-time favorite.
Now we get into it. Right, let's
3-2-1 is serious. Yeah. Razor Ramon is my third.
Razor Ramon! Hey,
keep going. I forgot about Razor Ramon.
The toothpick gimmick, everything. Like, we're little black kids growing up with afros. I'm literally trying to twist my afro into the little stringy that he had. Like, that just shows how much of an impact he had on us. Like, any restaurant we're at, anywhere that had toothpicks, me and my brother are stealing them so we can do the promo later, throw it at each other. Like, we're doing the moves to each other. Okay, so Razor.
Two more. We got two more. I'm excited for these.
So I'm going Diamond Dallas Page at two.
DDP.
DDP.
What?
DDP.
Yeah, yeah. So Dallas is the one that got me into the business.
Yeah.
I tore my knee in 2015, and he helped me rehab from that, and I never felt stronger. And he was always in my ear, like, "Hey, when you're done with basketball, wrestling, right?" So he's the one that got me my tryout, got me plugged in, got me my first contract signed. He's like a mentor of mine, but he all like just his wrestling work alone is qualifying for the top five, you know. In one, oh my God, this is gonna be. You want to say someone like Hogan, but like to me, it's not.
yours. Who's yours?
I'm gonna go Ric Flair.
He's in my five.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair's in my five.
Fresh got boom on the check.
Rick.
Yo,
no. Yeah, Macho Man's cool, but
who yours?
Top five, I can't.
Five. Ooh. Stone Cold five.
Oh, I can't believe they left Rock out of that.
The Rock
four.
The Rock four?
I got the Rock four.
Here it is. Let's keep going.
I got the Rock four.
Yeah.
I got Shawn Michaels three.
Yes. I forgot about Shawn Michaels.
I know I'm sexy. Tough. I know I'm cool. Yeah. I got to be the shit. I got the mood that drive the girls crazy. What?
I got Ric Flair too.
Yeah.
Nobody was a better antagonist. Like his skits. You know this Rolex and these gators, legendary.
Rap
nobody did it like Ric Flair. For me, I'm an Undertaker guy. That's my number one.
Undertaker?
Undertaker. Really
good, yeah. That motherfucker be down. You gonna everybody done jumped him.
That is
and
my
everybody
guy.
Walk away, that motherfucker lift up.
Just pops up.
Run, nigga, run.
That is my guy.
Everyone knows when the lights go out, what's about
to happen. No time. You want me to go?
You go.
Okay, cool. Number four. Okay, so I'm gonna tell y'all my numbers. I'm gonna give you a six bonus because he's not really that known, but y'all should know him. It's this wrestler called Bob Backlund.
No question. Yeah. No question.
Nigga. You know, I like, you know I like Bob Backlund? Because he would do this move to people, crossface chicken wing. Mm-hmm. And then after he was, and then he would do it uncontrollably. Like he never won a match counting to three. Yeah. Every match he won, they tapped out. Yeah, so he would do the little move to him, and then they'll hold, and then after he do it, he looks at his hands. like I can't believe I just did that to him, man. So I gotta give him that because
it's a good gimmick.
I want you to understand something. If rappers paid attention to wrestling, if artists paid attention to wrestling, they get further.
Yes.
Because wrestling is all about the character. Now I'm gonna get into my top five. I'm gonna have to go number five. I'm gonna say the Ultimate Warrior. Ooh. He was just that motherfucker. Because I know my top three. I'm gonna say number four is hard for me, but I'm gonna go with Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm gonna go Ric Flair is because to create a character that still lasts.
Yeah, the nature
boy. A, this braggadocious character that we're talking about 30, 40 years later, we still feel, I'm Rolex wearing, diamond shining, bubble. You still feel that. The top three is easy to me. Number three is Hulk Hogan. No, number three is Hulk Hogan. I never forgave him for Hollywood Hulk. I couldn't forgive him for that because it was like you letting us know it's fake and now you're playing in our face because you were America.
Yeah. Right.
You were the good guy. You, if it was red, white, and blue, it was Hulk Hogan. So he would have been over this guy if he didn't go that. But I'm gonna say that number two is The Rock,
mm-hmm. for sure.
And the reason why I didn't like The Rock as a wrestler, but I loved him as a character. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we being honest, the People's Elbow is just a fucking elbow.
Yeah, it's not a finisher. It's not a finisher.
It's a finisher. But my point is this, it's just an elbow. The only reason why it becomes the People's Elbow is when he stands over you, he suggests you
the whole thing,
and teaches you the brand. You see what I'm saying? It's the brand. Like, bro, I learned so much in life from wrestling. That's why when Dave hit me, I was like, nigga, I love wrestling.
Right.
Number one is the easiest one in the world. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Suck it.
And the reason why I gotta say Steve Austin is because there was no hole in his shit.
None.
Like the music, the character, the stunner. Coke Hogan leg drop. No, I mean, that's cool.
Stunner was a
stunner was fucking that move.
Nigga, he will come in the ring and stun everybody.
And then drink beer.
Nigga, he was Tupac. He was like the white Tupac, nigga. Because you understand, I was pushing wheelchairs back then. I used to see these niggas.
At the airport.
Yeah. Stone Cold, the only motherfucker I saw that I got starstruck. Nigga, that's Stone Cold. And the other thing about him is I think he's the only person who's close to his actual character.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
He didn't have to go deep in.
No, he didn't.
It's one thing I want to bring up that I know you've seen. You have to. It's this movie called Fight With My Family. Please tell me you've seen it.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Dave, how did he never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Okay, so it's a movie called Fight With My Family. It's a true story about this family that all wrestled. Like, they were like, throw like neighborhood wrestling events in the
hood. Not the Von Erichs, though. Not the like the one they just made the new one of.
Iron Claws.
No, it's not that. No, No. This is the actual real family. Like, she's like the world champion, and it's basically about these brother and his sister, and the father and the mother were wrestlers, and now they're the promoters, and the brother and the sister's the star.
Okay.
And here comes the WWE looking for new stars, and they show you the process of what it took. By the way, it's a true story.
So
the brother who the family was always behind, that's who was supposed to be the wrestler because he was the boy. Mm-hmm. The girl was just following him, but they didn't want the brother. They only wanted the girl, and she was like, I don't want to fight if my this is a family business.
Yeah.
And her brother was like, no, you need to do it.
Yeah,
so she does it, but they go through like the character building. The Rock is in it. The Rock is a star. Mm-hmm. He plays himself in it. They go and Vince Vaughn is like the coach. Okay. But they go through the character and then it just breaks down like how important it is to be real. So like, you know, like they like get your character ready and then before you even get in the ring, you gotta say your character. And she goes like, I'm hot, the boys think I'm pretty, the girls are jealous of me, and they was like, that's whack.
Yeah, that's not
that's it. Not you.
No,
and then so they show how you gotta go through all of this deep down inside get your character. So you got, as much as you got to learn the technique of wrestling, you have to develop, put the same amount of energy in developing a character, which to me is what I tell every artist that I work with.
Yeah.
Nigga, well, tell me about the character. Yeah. And I'm like, nigga, if wrestlers can go out there and kick each other ass and create characters together, and you talking about grown, look at this nigga, grown men playing characters.
Yeah.
Nigga, you can play a character as an artist. No, you ain't, sure. You know what I'm saying?
It's supposed to be like, so it's genuine. It's supposed to be like, the best advice I've ever got from like DDP is be yourself, like at a party, having a good, like 10 times your personality.
Yes, the real you.
Because it's easier to bring that back down than to, like, if you go the other way, like say I'm this, you know, guy, you know, back home people call me the mayor. I'm always, nice to meet you, you know, whatever, kissing babies. But like, if I were to be totally opposite of that, like I was an Undertaker type person, like that kind of messes with you mentally, depending on how long you wrestle for, right?
Yeah.
So imagine you're playing a character for 12 years where you're this dark guy, but then you're really this bubbly personality that meets
everyone. Yeah. That's
that
show.
It almost puts you into like
a cage. Like it was almost, it put you in like a character prison.
Yeah.
Where you can't, where you got to
really mess with your mental, like your actual mental health. Because if you're playing something that's so opposite of your spirit and your natural, like it's not going to come through as genuine if you're literally playing that part, but.
So what's your character that you play when you go out there and wrestle?
Tell us about Chosen.
Chosen?
Yes. I need to know about Chosen.
It's kind of going against what I just said, but because...
I need to know.
In wrestling, when you're first breaking in, though, so everyone's viewing me as a giant, and I know I have a lot more to offer, but they haven't seen that yet. So what they're looking at is 7'2", 300 pounds. Okay, he has abs. He wrestles no shirt on. I really... In these matches that I've been having, I just have to, we call them squash matches. I literally just destroy whoever is in front of me. So it's hard to come off of any kind of character when I have to just come in and just smash people. Like my first match ever was two guys finishing their match and my music hits, I come in and I just wreck both of them. Like I'm not even in the music? Match.
Right, you just destroy both of them.
What's the background music when you're walking out?
It's like these deep, like it sounds like someone's, like a killer's coming.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But eventually we'll be able to tweak that. I just want to give them, I want to give them a little Scott Hall, a little Razor Ramon, a little Diamond. So I'm going to pick the little things, the characteristics from all the characters that I love. So like my top five.
Yeah.
Take little things. I just want it to be cool again. I just feel like wrestling not really cool right now.
Take their girls.
Yeah, that was
like
always
beat
cool.
Somebody up and then take his woman with you, and then she's looking at him and you walking it with you, and now she's with Chosen now.
Yeah,
like,
so
let me tell you
because
why I say
she
that.
Chose.
No, because I'm because I'm looking at you, and I'm a man's man. I'm gonna do whatever I take to protect my family, but I'm looking at you and I'm like, well, if this nigga just come take your girl hand,
what you gonna do?
You got to go get the gun. Remember that little fat kid said, Jack. Go get the gun.
Come on, fresh.
Like, somebody go get the gun. Like, I'm like, so it's almost like he took it. He came into, like, it's like you look like the type that walks in jail and takes people's
and
shit. So what's the one thing that you could take that a man,
it's like his woman. Shit.
So he need to act like he need to have the jail suit on with cornbread or something.
Yeah, I would be like, if I was your character, I ain't gonna lie, I would be in locker rooms. Like, I would be in, let's say Razor Ramon, because I know his name. Let's say I walk in the locker room, Razor Ramon walks in the room and you see a name.
Yeah.
And when you see a name, you walk in there and so you think it's your thing and then you see you sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
I'm cool.
Hulk Hogan, Matt, can I come use your thing? I don't want, like, kind of like that character. All movies had that character where there's that big dude who you just don't want to fuck with because he might take something from you. Yeah. And I'm like, what can you take? It's just my woman. It's like, I can't do nothing about that, man. Right. What am I supposed to do?
Like, I was talking to my one friend. He manages some artists, and he's like, your whole thing should be that. It should be, I'm gonna take your girl.
Yeah.
He's like, do what you used to do at the bar with us when, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But I'm like, and he's like, the whole tagline should be, what are you going to do about it?
Yes.
Like, she's, and then that's what the shirt's all about. What are you going to do?
She's chosen.
She chose.
What you want me to do? Like, shit I'm trying to say? Like, because when you say she choosing.
Yeah. Because, so I have to be a bad guy.
You have to.
It's almost impossible to make a giant, a baby face,
guy,
we call it, a good guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm a heel, so you have to be, you basically have to be a dick.
Like, yeah.
You have to get the fans to want to boo you. Like,
yes.
It's good for me if they're booing.
Right.
So I'm like, you know.
That's my point. And in wrestling, the realer it is, because what we don't talk about enough is half America loves and half America don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And that's why the characters work, because we identify with one or the other. Like, either
some fans that want to see me just go wreck someone who's a foot shorter than me and
100
pounds less, and there's some that want to cheer for that.
Like
that
Hulk smash.
Underdog.
Like
Hulk smash.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like just take his broad and smash.
So what's one of your signature moves, like when you get in the ring, like that, how you destroy your opponent?
Choke slam.
Oh my God!
Not a choke slam.
No,
yeah.
Choke. No, your choke slam is a 5'9" nigga choke slamming you is like you just tripped. Yeah. A 7'2" so nigga choke slamming you.
You fell from the ceiling. That's an 8-foot drop.
You fell from the ceiling, nigga.
Yeah, because my standing reach, which I know from basketball and stuff, is 9'3". So if I'm bringing the guy up here, so he goes from 9'3" to nothing in like a second. So
that's my point.
First match, I did a double choke slam.
That's different than me slamming you. That's a whole different ball game.
That's a long way to the ground.
I'm telling you.
like we're teaching the proper techniques, how to fall, everything. Obviously, of course. But there's no getting around that hurting. It hurts no matter what.
Yeah,
like you go from 9 feet to 0 feet, it
hurts. Feeling
it.
Yeah,
doesn't matter
sure.
if it's on a trampoline, on a bed of pillows.
You're gonna feel it.
So okay. People say it's fake.
Okay.
I'm like,
because we don't know. Because we don't know, and you obviously do. What are the most dangerous stunts that wrestlers do where everybody in the back is like,
oh yeah.
Hope he nailed it. He nailed it. All right, cool. Like, what is that?
Anything from the top rope or even from that second rope or anything from being in the ring and jumping out of the ring.
Yes.
Because there's so much that could go wrong. Like, even the guy who's just jumping, he can slip on the rope. And if you fall from, like, it's just a big fall. It's like.
But it's another wrestler that we got to acknowledge. So it's another wrestler that we have to acknowledge. And not because he was one of my favorites, but because that was nobody in my entire life watching wrestling, nobody got their ass kicked and did the worst stunts than Mankind.
Oh my God.
How we forget
people
about him?
People up 20 feet off high, off the
this
steel cage.
This motherfucker would That's go off man. 30 feet, jump into fire, like, and then he, Blast, and the reason why fire. I got to give him that, because he had three different names.
Yeah.
Dude Love.
Yeah,
dude, Mankind.
And then what was the main one? The main
Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
He was three different people. He would fight as three different people. Uh-huh. And if it was a Royal Rumble, when Cactus Jack got kicked out, he'd come back as Mankind. Mankind got kicked out. He'd come back as Dude Love. And every last one of them had a different finishing move.
Yep.
They had a different, but the one that motherfucker, it was almost like I never felt sorry for a wrestler more than I felt sorry for him. Like, even though you know it was fake, I was like, nigga, you must not like your life.
He was a big guy, too. It's not even like he was like this athletic, guy that could do flips.
He was overweight and everything.
He looked like some, you know, high school football coach, his dad. Yeah.
Jumping from the cage.
Doing wildly athletic things.
What, landing an elbow on this nigga and not hurt him?
Yeah.
And it was a match. He was like, do like a slamming and like thumbtacks.
No. Yes. It was a mess that he did. It was a mess that he did in fire or something.
Yes.
Thought he would do matches that, like, in the ring against a nigga we know gonna kick his ass 95% of the match.
Yeah.
He might win that 5% because he do his little move, he put his hand in your mouth, and you fucked. Once you get that sock in your mouth,
connection.
You fucked.
So crazy.
But the first hour and a half is him getting fucked
destroyed
up. And it was like, I'll be like, stay down, nigga.
Yeah.
Don't get up.
All time great.
What? Yeah. Jake the Snake, Roddy Piper. Bro, I know.
Those all time great.
Coco Beware.
Yeah,
I was a wrestling all-time fan, but I had to pick the ones that matter today. And to me, I feel like those characters. I don't know if I said Macho Man, but I should have said him.
Macho
he's up
Man.
There too.
That nigga there.
He's I should have said Rock. I'm going to give Rock an honorable mention because he's like, I don't know how I just blanked on
I forgot
Rock,
Macho and hit Bret.
I just got one question. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed. Know does Macho Man talk like that in real life?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna do this. It's like imagine him talking to his kids. I'm gonna tell y'all, motherfucker.
So Ray, I got the answer. I got
tell me.
So this is the wildest. So it is a voice he's putting on, but at so say first year he starts doing it, he 24/7 started doing it. Like he didn't ever get out of that character.
He never gave up.
No,
permanent.
Always at home, everything with Miss Victoria, with his wife. Yeah, with. All the guys in the back.
And was
on
that
the
really
road.
His wife?
It was.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But it became too much. Like,
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, man.
It's too extreme.
I love wrestling, bro. I wish I could get into it today, but I know it takes so much investment.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, it's hard coming in halfway of a movie with characters you don't know.
It's true.
Because then it's kind of like, who is this? Because now I know what it is, so now I gotta like the character or hate him. And it's like, if it's just some lame shit, it's like, ah. But yeah, I love wrestling, bro. Like, and I'm glad that we're talking about this because. It's just, I think we can learn from it on the music side. Like wrestlers, they be branding the fuck out themselves.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah, you
matches.
Have to.
Like right. Speaking of wrestling, and I've been telling people, I'm like, yo, the music business needs to. I've been saying this on the show. The music business needs to get like a WWE vibe going, where it's like, you know, kind of like we're gonna have you go against you right now because y'all gonna help each other, and then this, but it's nobody gonna get hurt, but this, and then it's like kind of like.
So go in the ring. Put him in the ring.
No. Like how we're gonna speak about it, like. What if this Drake, Kendrick, What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
All that shit was like just contrived.
Okay.
What if it was like, this is what we're going to do? It's going to feel like all of us against you. And now we're going to come. You're going to come. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it's going to be that. But I can't lie to y'all. After Kendrick's song dropped, I don't feel the same.
How do you feel?
It's personal.
It's real personal.
Hey, nigga, I don't know how you come back from that.
So what exactly did he say about Drake?
Well, I want to get the Canadians' standpoint on it.
Yeah, how do you feel about this?
Like, because listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you the funny part. Let me tell you something really funny.
We definitely got to get
in. I live in Fayetteville. My artist 11 lives with me. And when you leave my house to come to the city every day, you have to ride by Rick Ross' house. Mm. Every day.
The estate.
And he ride by it, and he is like, fuck you, police, cop. And I'm like,
Officer Ricky.
And I'm like, Officer Ricky. And I'm like,
What
the fuck you got to do with this? Uh-huh. But it is like, he's Canadian, even though. So it's like, I'm just looking, I'm like, how's Canada feel about what's happening right now? I want to know.
That's
hilarious. How long was it? 6-7 minutes he put it out?
Man, six minutes.
Six minutes. I mean,
oh my basically God.
Basically said he hates everything about the man. He hates his. What he wears, what he looks like, who he talks to. He don't like the bitches he had. He don't like nothing.
He hates everything.
But
I feel like
it's an L for him, bro. Like
for Drake?
No.
Kendrick. Mm. He's Kendrick. From Canada. They have to.
I don't have to, but I'm just like.
You can't go home if you don't support. Listen, Drake, when we think about Canada, president of Canada, The Weeknd is vice president, and Justin Bieber is like the fucking head of education or something. Oh, we know what we think about Canada, we think about those three, but mainly him. For we sure. Call y'all the six because of him. I went and got 11-11 because I'm like, Canada's a hot spot.
Yeah.
So y'all right now are like standing tall with him. I want to give you my thoughts, but I want to see what you guys think first because I have my own theory on it, and I've been saying it on the show, so it's not new, but I just want to get y'all thoughts. Rick?
I kind of think this was all WWE already. You know what I'm saying? Without even being official. Because it's just like, it started with two people. Then it was just like, everybody started throwing their hat into the ring.
Yeah.
Everybody. Ross was like, oh, what's going on? Hold on, y'all ain't going to do this without me. You know what I'm saying? He threw a verse in. It's just like, everybody's kind of like, wait a second. And it's bringing attention to everybody. So that's kind of happening. I mean, I don't know if we have a winner. Drake always seems to win. Even when he loses, he wins.
I like that. What's your thoughts?
My opinion is, so, of course, you know, I'm not from Canada, Toronto, nothing, but, you know, Drake got money. Drake got that money, and I feel like, but they're trying to bully, you know, I feel like they're kind of bullying Drake, and it's like, you got one man against all these men, you know, so it's like, I don't know.
Well, my
thought is, Kendrick, he's from Compton, so he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. He's a Compton nigga.
Let me tell you what happened.
He's not going to stop.
I'm not telling you what I know. But I'm telling you what I've heard, and I'm in inner circles. So here's what I think really happened. Here's what's happening right now. I think, so Drake is Canadian, right? When you're Canadian, Canadians are like the polite black people. Like
11-11.
Like 11-11. My
he's
mom
so
loves
polite.
Him.
Oh my God.
Pardon? Sorry, what did I say? Me? Excuse me? Like, so, no. I'm not being funny. I'm being like, let me just, because I'm so entrenched in this because I've been saying it on the show. To me, what happens is that I think Drake is having the Eminem effect, and I think it's pissing off his peers. Where it's kind of like I've been saying, Drake is a cheat code. Mm-hmm. He's half Jewish, half black.
Yep.
he could say nigga, but he can wear a yarmulke.
It's crazy.
Like, nigga, he can walk in any hood and be cool, but he could go into the financial places of the banks and get all the money.
Yeah.
And because he's half Jewish and because he's half black, he comes to America, he talks like a Canadian. He talks like a Canadian. He raps like an American.
I was just about to.
Hear me out. Sometimes he raps like he's from the Caribbean. Sometimes he raps like he's from London. Mm-hmm. Because he's from Canada, he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Now, we've always known that. By the way, that's not a Drake thing. That's a music thing. That's why Rihanna can sing songs like SOS and songs like fucking Pull Up and Shut Up and Drive, because she's not from America, so right. We can't judge her mm-hmm. on what she's supposed to be doing. But when you're from Compton or you're from College Park, we can judge you because we know where you come from. So let's factor that in now. So now let's factor in where Drake has been at. He's always been the chosen one. He's right. always won. But you start realizing he's kind of just raping and pillaging America. Mm. He's bigger than everybody. He's getting verses. He's doing whatever he wants. But he's kind of like, but mind you, not to us, because we're not in that small circle of like hip hop superstars. But mm-hmm. to them, you start looking at it like, damn, this nigga could get away with shit I can't get away with. Mm. Like, this nigga could be certified lover boy. Name a black rapper, 100% black rapper that could call himself certified lover boy and then not be considered lame. Drake can, right? Sure. So then here's another thing I think happens. You get around him and then you realize how Canadian he is. Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about from a street nigga standpoint. Because when you're a rap nigga, you just around a superstar. No, so you happy to be around a nigga, then you realize this nigga ain't really American.
No.
Damn. Like, he's North American, but he doesn't have the black nuances.
No.
Right? He's North American. But, okay, so what happens is now, because pay attention, you hear people like Tyga saying, I just don't like the guy. He's ingenuine, right? Mm. You hear people saying like, you see how he came in, took all the sauce from Cash Money. He gives them props, but we don't see him giving them anything else, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, by rape and pillaging, we let you in here. It's kind of like Iggy Azalea. We let you in, but you're really Australian, rapping like the brat,
right? Yeah,
right. And then that's why Drake doesn't do a lot of interviews, because when he talks, what made me start looking at Drake differently was he did an interview, and I challenge anybody to go watch. He was on LeBron James show called The Shop.
The Shop, mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the Pusha T beef. But LeBron was talking to him like he was his son. And like, I'm an American nigga. Ain't no man gonna talk to me like that.
That part.
Well, he was like, yeah, when Pusha T did that, what'd I tell you to do? And Drake was like, oh, you told me to just not say anything and just, da-da. He was like, and you did it, right? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, and I'm proud of you. What'd I text you? He said, you text you, you're proud of me. And I'm about to say that. I was Drake out there like, nigga, what are you doing, nigga? But he let it happen. Because you know why? He probably didn't even realize what was happening.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like this little boy thing that happened. So now, here comes all these guys that's kind of like, hold on, this nigga is winning. But we're being forced to grow. We're being forced to do certain. Drake ain't had one fucking charity for America. He ain't have one give back, one nothing. Nothing. He built his big house. Where at?
Canada.
He's Canadian. By the way, it's cool. But I think his peers start being like, this nigga on some bullshit. He acting like us, but he ain't one
really
of us.
One
so
of us.
When you send French Montana cease and desist, by the way, French Montana, you on the clock, nigga. Why we ain't heard about the
where's he
why
at?
Why we heard about the cease and desist?
He in New York. I'm surprised.
But why we ain't heard about it? Right. So now niggas talk. Man, such and such did some fuck shit. Such did some fuck shit. Such said, oh, he did that to you too. Damn, he did that to me. Nigga, this nigga flew my bitch out. He did that to you. He did that to me. So now you be sitting around like, so now all that in. Now here comes Kendrick. Kendrick on that song, he starts off with, you're my latest. He's if you don't know the intro song, it's Teddy Pendergrass.
Teddy Pendergrass.
You're my greatest inspiration. So he's rapping on greatest inspiration. So that's really like, hold on. The fuck is this nigga doing? Man, he rapping weird on that. And then he goes into the song. And if y'all, listen, man, I listen to that song 100 times. And every time I listen to it, I hear something that I didn't hear the first time or hear the other times. That man went at his ass. But the part where he said, I hate you. See, I've been dissed publicly by somebody. And I didn't understand where it came from. But you can feel the energy by the likes, by the comments. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened is he started feeling energy, like, what the fuck going on? And what Kendrick did was Kendrick was like, I'm gonna cook him now. I'm the only one that can't. Rick Ross can't cook him.
No.
J. Cole can't. It's only one rapper alive that can cook Drake. It's not even Kanye. Kanye too emotional. The only nigga that could cook him is Kendrick. Now, Push Up was terrible. And the reason why Pusha was terrible because it was built on a lie. How are you telling me drop and give 50 push-ups to TDE when you were signed to Baby and Slim and Wayne and Jay Prince and all these people's in your pocket right now, but you telling me I'm going to drop and do 50? Nigga, the whole diss was null and void to me because you the main nigga that had to get out your deal. Kendrick was with, we ain't never heard nobody having problems with Top.
Nah.
First thing, but then when he said, I hate you, I hate the way you talk, I hate the way you this, pay attention to what he's saying. He's calling him out about shit that, I hate the way you talk. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, I hate the way you rap. He actually said, I like when you emotional. I hate when you talk gangster. And when you talk, I hate when you dress, nigga. And he said, nigga, I hate the bitches you fuck with because they make you feel like you a man. Ooh. Like, the fuck? Hold up.
That's wild.
Nigga go. And it ain't just me, nigga. It's the whole culture.
Ooh.
Now we know that was the first time we got the answer to why everybody lined up against him. They tired of him. They tired of him. So now, and you gotta, and see, this is the one thing about Drake that pisses me off the most, is that, nigga, you don't get to the top without getting shot at every day.
Period.
You the only nigga that been at the top, never got shot at, because you still acting like a little boy.
Yeah.
Then he hit you there. Then he says, I'm taking care of my kids. You don't know nothing about that.
Ooh.
Nigga, you talking about pushing P, nigga, what about pushing T? So now he's eating him, I'm telling you, he's eating him alive. And I think most niggas is tired of Drake. Not on no like tired of Drake winning. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
Tired of you winning and not having to pay the same dues we gotta pay.
We're stealing our culture.
Tired of you winning and not doing what we have to do. Like name a rapper that could do, I'm more than just a number. Hey. No rapper could do that. Name a rapper could do, I'm the one dance. God, he can do whatever he wants because of where he's from. But they saying not in America no more. And if you are, it's gonna be hard. And for me, I think that Kendrick destroyed him because he said, I don't even feel comfortable with you saying nigga. What? Maybe it's just me. Nigga. Shit, he is mixed.
We ain't never thought about it.
He was raised in a house with his white mother. Yeah. So it's like all these things, it's things that we knew, but we let slide because it was cool.
Black.
But then when you start getting tired of like,
it ain't sliding no
more. You calling yourself the boy? He said, I want the boy, I want to talk to the man. Mm. Nigga, like shit, you still wearing cornrows in your hair and barrettes, nigga, you a 38-year-old man.
But Dre's daddy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is from Memphis, and he was a blues player.
I don't give a fuck what his dad is. He wasn't raised in the same house with him.
Okay.
He wasn't raised in the same house with him. He was raised in a house with his Jewish mother. Mama. He was a successful actor. But rap music, hear me out, rap music is built from the struggle. That's why it's hard for Puff Kids. Puff Kids can make the greatest song of all time. We're not going to pay attention to you like that. What your dad paid for the studio. Your dad put the song out. Your dad did everything. Right. We don't have no respect for you.
Yeah.
So no matter what you say, we ain't going to have no respect for you. We got to see you go through something. Mm-hmm. Drake, he came in through street niggas, so we didn't even pay attention to that because he wasn't a street nigga. Mm. That's why Kendrick said, I like when you sung them soft song. Now you want to be gangster. Now I'm on your ass. Mm. And there it is. So I think that this is going to be a really interesting point for him because it's the first time he got to look at himself and ask himself, like, what do I really want to do? Because he could easily just be like, fuck all y'all niggas, I'm going back to Canada and get my money.
No, he's coming back. I don't think Drake's giving up.
And then what was the song 50 Push-Ups about? About who tell him to give him 50 push-ups?
Birdman.
Top
tweeted, me and K-Dot is still a king over here. Killed that. What you going to do now? You can't keep dropping street niggas' name and all the niggas you know and everything else. Because niggas start figuring out, this nigga don't really show up for nobody.
Mm.
He don't show up for nobody unless there's something in it for him. Remember why Future don't like him? Niggas forget. Same damn time video. No, not same damn time. Remember he was on Tony Montana?
Yeah.
He was on a remix. It is footage of Drake saying, I'm supposed to be shooting a video right now for a hot artist and the private jet is waiting for me, but I'd rather come talk to you ladies.
Yeah.
Like, Future ain't gonna see that.
Mm. Right.
Nigga, I'ma always remember you ain't fucking me when you ain't.
But they came out and made another collab after that.
That's business.
Yeah.
Nigga, how many people we do business with that we don't like? Sometimes you gotta get together to do you business with people money. To get to another point so you can do what you wanna do. Sometimes you do what you need to do what you wanna do. I think Future had it out for that nigga from the jump.
Yeah,
because so that Tony Montana video.
Yeah, so you always say it's about women. Do you think this is about women?
I do think it's about women. I think he gets to play games that we don't get to play. He gets to live his life that we don't get to play. Steve. This nigga takes chicks to fucking dinner at the Dodger Stadium and shit. Like, nigga,
that's nice.
Ran out the stadium.
But niggas like, I get it, but still, like, it's just to me, I ain't gonna lie, man. Like, the world gives you what you deserve, and I don't think this is happening to him. I don't feel bad for him. He's been on top for a long time. Jay-Z had to deal with Nas. Nigga, Pac had to deal with Biggie. Nigga, everybody had to deal with somebody when they start getting up. He the only nigga that didn't have to have no struggle, that's no nothing. True.
But do you think it's going to affect his money, though? Like, I don't know, even if the whole streets money, are like, money, okay, money, Kendrick killed him.
Drake is going to always be a global superstar. Yeah, in America.
Street credit.
I'm right. Just saying, street side.
Yeah. It's an L.
It's a lesson. I don't call it a loss. It's a lesson. Yeah. He got to want to get the lesson. It's two ways. He could be sitting around saying, why the fuck everybody fucking with me? Or he could be like, I know why they fucking with me, because I'm the motherfucking one.
Man, nigga,
now I'm about to come at all of them.
Yeah. Do you think he could come back acting like that?
To me, he's still like... And no, when he probably don't watch this. He ain't going to hear this. But dog, stop doing lame white people shit when you're in rap beefs. No, I'm being real with you. Like, when he said, I hate you, you're going to take a movie from a white movie that none of us have ever seen and post it on your story. You're exposing yourself, buddy.
Yeah.
You're exposing. You're telling us you grew up watching hockey and watching those kind of movies, buddy. Meanwhile, niggas in the streets was dealing with street shit for real.
Wasn't even watching TV.
I mean, I don't know what a fucking movie is. And I'm a movie buff. Does anybody know a movie that was that he posted?
No.
That's my point. Room full of black people. I guarantee there's a room full of white people. He asked that. They'd be like, 10 things I hate about you. Of course, bro. That's what I mean. You can do, and I think that he's getting exposed because you don't know who a nigga is until he's down on the ropes. He's on the ropes right now.
He's definitely on the ropes.
Because that nigga Kendrick, my God, that nigga is incredible, bro. That nigga, every line he says something different. I was like, my nigga.
He had to come back hard after Drake tried to put Tupac.
And there's one more thing that Drake does that is lame in our culture in the midst of beef. He speaks about how much more he has than you. In American beef, it ain't about how much more you have than me. Because when 50 Cent was beefing with Ja Rule, them niggas was the kings.
Yeah, it was.
When Pastor Troy was beefing with Master P, they was the kings. Mm-hmm. It's just, sometimes it's just time for you to get knocked on your ass and see if you can get up. I think you're going to get up because he's too good. But it's just an interesting time. And I don't feel bad what I'm saying.
Yeah, Drake been around for a long time. You know, it's about time for him to take his little sit down. But I feel like he needs to come back. Let's keep it going.
He will. But you know what I think happened? Let me tell you what I think happened. I think it's like, oh man, Dave, you want to spar? All right, let's spar. Fuck it. Pow! You know, like that. He's like, bitch. He's like, what the fuck just happened?
What just happened? Because he hasn't responded.
Nigga, I wouldn't even hit you that hard. I was saying, give me 50 push-ups, bro. He said, I don't like you, nigga. And he ended the song saying, I still don't feel comfortable with you saying the word nigga. I promise you that nigga better. He going to think twice when he say the word nigga.
He can never
now.
Say nigga now.
He going to think twice about it. He going to think twice because it's like, does the whole culture feel the way about me saying the N-word?
Oh,
like,
after, come oh, on. Yeah.
What's that mixed rapper that can't say the N-word?
Logic.
Mabu.
Black father, white mother.
Oh, yeah,
he
Logic.
Can't say N-word. But Drake can.
Logic look white.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But he's black too.
Yes, he is.
I know.
No, but you talk about
he does look white.
Like, that man pale.
Chosen, he does look white though, bro. He looks like a straight white man. I'm like, your dad must be light skinned, nigga. But yeah, that's what I feel. All right, we got to do something. Come on.
So Florida has this new law. It's a pay to stay law. So they're charging inmates $50 a day for the time that you served in jail. So and if you don't pay, you got to get out of Florida.
What?
Yes. Okay. So Florida has a pay to stay law. So if you go to jail in Florida, you do your time, you get out, they send you a bill $50 a day for every day that you spent in here. And if you don't want to pay, bye. Go to somewhere else.
You got to leave Florida.
You got to leave the state.
Well, you know, these niggas, you know. don't get in trouble. So, I mean, it's, they treat, by the way, in this country, if you fuck up, they going to treat your ass bad for the rest of your life.
Yes, they are.
If you fuck up in this country,
that is crazy.
They will treat you bad for the rest of your life. They cannot wait for you to fuck up one time.
And you don't even know. You already in a fucked up situation. Now you get out of jail, you got to pay $50 a day for the fucked up situation I just left.
Hey, nigga, don't fuck up then. Florida's a different place, though. You know, a fun fact, Florida is the place where I think 60% of porn stars come from.
Oh, thank you.
They down there fucking, boy. I'm just saying, Florida down there fucking.
I just want to know how you knew that fact. Yeah, where did that fact come from?
I'll tell you what came from. I was in Orlando, and my boy was like, man, you know, Central Falls right around town. I was like, oh, okay. He said, you know, we have to, because he was like, he's a cameraman. He's like, nigga, boom, business is booming for me right now. All the college girls doing OnlyFans. I'm filming everything. I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, you don't know Florida? We're the number one state for porn. I'm like, no, nigga.
But Florida's also number one state for Latinas, too. Let me say that.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. It's not racist. It's not. That's true. That's true. That's a fact, too. Puerto Ricans and everything else is in Florida.
Listen, man, okay. There's been a lot of...
Hold on, let's go, Rick.
There's been a lot of interesting things going on, specifically in sports. You know, we just had the NFL draft. I'm sure we got a lot of sports fans that watch this, but there's been a couple of things that just really stuck out to me. You ever see when the player gets drafted and their family's on the couch?
Yeah.
You got the player, you got the...
The mama, the grandma,
the grandmother.
And then the white girl on the end.
And then the girlfriend.
The white girl.
Or whoever she is.
She's the white girl on the end.
The white girl
on the end. She's on the end.
Did you see grandma do her best offensive tackle? Yo. And she did like four times. She hit it with the boom here.
Yeah.
When they all stood up, everybody hugging, she was like, kind of reach.
I'm telling you.
Did another one like this.
My goddamn grandson.
Straight on. I'm telling you.
Look, then she stood up. She just stood up and said, the hell with this. You ain't going to make this.
She did.
She stood right up.
And then put it back to her.
I love it. You got
to
do that now. It's been some episodes in some of these few drafts, these last few drafts, where these girlfriends is, they getting a little out of pocket.
I ain't gonna lie. If I don't understand why girlfriends are there. I mean, because it's if you don't last,
they might have been holding them down.
Like, what are we gonna do? Like, think about this. This is the day that I know I'm gonna become a millionaire instantly. What you think she thinking?
She gonna become one too.
Nah, bitch. Grandma Ma said, "No, the fuck,
you ain't.
Not
you
ain't. You
ain't. He's up. We ain't up, little girl."
I think Grandma was right. Grandma didn't do.
If you had a man, and he was being drafted, and you was girlfriend, would you want to be at that couch?
For sure, but I'm not a white girl though. Hello, I'm just saying, I'm not. You know.
Okay. I guess so. Okay, let's go.
So the
Hold on. Don't let us switch up on us, nigga.
He just took it. He didn't even say nothing.
I want to know. Would you be?
Yeah, I would want to be there to hold my man down because I've been holding you down this long. So now,
what if it's your son and he going pro? You want his girlfriend there?
No.
And chosen, we just figured out what's wrong with the world. As long as
you know, mommies don't play about their sons now.
Yeah, but
just be family. Just be family.
But my thing I'm gonna tell y'all now is that we have to acknowledge these girlfriends. That's why these girlfriends eventually become wives and be like, now fuck you, grandma.
And now get more
gotta,
money.
Now you want money from him. He's playing this week. I handled the money. Now grandma gotta get the money from him. And that's how these families be fucked up. You gotta embrace every new member to the family because you never know what they gonna wind up becoming.
That's true.
And if they become wife, they become more important than mama and grandma.
Yes, they do.
And when they become that, they remember how you treated them when they wasn't shit. When they wasn't wife. And they gonna return that. And then guess what they start doing? I don't want your mom here because she doesn't like me. We're going to move my mom in.
Right, and then it gets complicated.
No, we're going to move my mom in.
Yeah, that's everything up.
Because my mom is going to take care of our kids. And then we're going to move my cut. And next thing you know, he's in a house full of people that don't look like him. Mm. And that's his new family.
Mm.
I mean, not that he's dead, but that's what happened with Kobe Bryant.
It's great. I didn't accept
Vanessa.
Nope.
And he met her when he was 19, and they probably thought she was fly by night. And now when he's getting honored, they're not invited, and she's the main speaker that they're celebrating. That's the one thing in our community that we don't acknowledge enough. We don't respect marriage. Like, we'd be like, I'm his mama. Hey, that's his wife now.
Life.
She comes before anybody. And you better be on the good side.
Yeah,
because she does things to him in that room, grandma, that you can't do.
That's true. That
and
is
when she does
true.
Those things, right after she finished, she goes, babe, you know, I was thinking, he's feeling good. Like, what you want, baby? Whatever you want.
I don't think that they don't embrace the marriage. I just think that they feel like, you know, we've been here since day one with him. We took care of him. This is my son, you know. And moms and sons have different bonds than like a mother and a daughter. So it's like
that is set up. That is set up by emotional manipulation by a woman.
When it comes,
you just proved it. You literally hold on. You just said no, but you just said.
Okay, but let me finish. Go ahead. When it comes to our sons, we just like we a little bit more guarded with them.
Cause you know why.
Because we know how rough it is for men in the world.
No.
What?
You know how you are. And you're afraid for him to run into you. And that's the real truth.
That's true. That's true.
I'm saying it's the truth.
That's true.
Because if a woman is a good woman, a good woman doesn't hope
it's
harbor
over. It's not even
over.
Me as a woman. It's other women that I've been around. And I know. I'm a woman, so I know
and
women.
I've been stressing this. I say black women raise their sons to be husbands to them, but no room for somebody else to come in. And that's where it comes from. You just proved it. If that's my man, I'm at the draft. If that's my son, ain't no girl gonna be there.
Your girl.
Cause you wanna be the girl. You wanna be the girl.
Maybe my son
grandma
is
wanted to be the girl.
Like that, but my son's still my baby.
Grandma wanted to be the girl. Grandma wanted to be the girl. And she, by the way, and she, for that moment she was. But when it's time, when he going to practice and he working 18-hour days. Who you think is rubbing his fucking feet at night
that's
and
true.
Giving him head?
Not mom
not
and
you,
grandma.
Because I have some moms before.
And by the way, grandma. By the way, grandma, whoever's doing that, you want them to be on your side. Because most men ain't alpha male personalities that's to stand true. Up and be like, hey, you better shut the fuck up. That's my grandma. Hey, say somebody, you be out of here.
No, I have
most niggas ain't like that.
I had situations where moms didn't like me. And I was like, dang, why she don't like me? Like, I'm the best thing ever happened to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Why your mom don't like me?
Because
moms love me. No, moms love me though, for real. Because moms love me, yeah, for real. But this one guy, his mom didn't like me. And I was like, dang, why your mom don't like me? Because he was a mama's boy. Mm. Yeah.
But meanwhile, you're raising your son to be a mama's
boy. I
know.
I'm going
to
take your advice. I'm going to stop. Maybe it's because he's young and he's still my baby.
You got to disconnect that umbilical cord.
I know.
Because he's going to have his mouth on that titty his whole life. And you're going to be like, why this nigga won't leave nowhere? Motherfucker. Because you treat him like he your husband. Treat him like he your son. Prepare him for the world. Make him ready for the world. Look, that's the woman you with. Hey, just watch your ass.
Yeah.
Because you are up now and you might have a different taste palette.
Oh, I'm definitely going to put him on.
You might have a different taste palette 6 months from now.
True. Mm-hmm.
So don't do or say nothing you regret. And you also ain't felt what it's like to be rich and famous, especially even if you're not like known around the world. Nigga, if you playing in Green Bay, I don't give a fuck. You the 53rd man on the roster, nigga. Wherever you walk in, you are a superstar.
That's right. You're on Green Bay Packers.
That's true.
You
know Patriots. What I'm saying?
But come on. Speaking, since we're in Atlanta and the draft happened, Atlanta's been doing some Atlanta Falcon things lately. Or so I thought. So look, about a month ago, they gave Kirk Cousins $180 million, quarterback, $100 million guaranteed. Then in the draft, they used the number 8 pick on a quarterback.
Make no sense.
Mm.
So I thought. But then when they realize the last 3 years they've had Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke as their quarterbacks, I think I would have did the same thing. Mm.
But
double down on
here's the thing though. Here's my only thing. When Green Bay does it, it's okay. They drafted Aaron Rodgers when Brett Favre was still in his prime. Mm-hmm. By the time Brett Favre was gone, here come Aaron Rodgers. They dropped Jordan Love in right after Aaron Rodgers was in his prime. Aaron Rodgers is leaving. They both traded them both, got some good assets, and now they starting over with a new superstar quarterback.
And they're solid. They're not starting from the bottom.
Yeah. So I didn't think that was bad. I think if Bill Belichick did it, we wouldn't have questioned it. But because the Falcons did it and they've been losing and we ain't never really won, we could have drafted God. They would have been like, what the fuck are they thinking?
True. And you're not one play away anyway. So yeah, I didn't think
so,
it was
so
a
in
big
my
deal.
Mind, it's like, you know, so for me it was like I wasn't mad at it. And plus, this Atlanta, our mayor black. Our police chief black, the person that run the airport black, we all black. Nigga, why can't we have a black quarterback?
That's right.
And I ain't gonna lie, I thought Atlanta Falcons would never drive a black quarterback because we're having with Michael Vick.
Right.
Because nigga, it took about 6 years for us to fuck with Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Nigga, we was like, nigga, Michael Vick did not end on his terms. He went to jail.
We even gave him a black nickname.
Matty Ice. Matty Ice. nigga, Matt Ryan took us to the Super Bowl. If Matt Ryan and Michael Vick are signing autographs, nigga, it's going to be 300,000 people there for Michael Vick and like 10,000 there for Matt
Ryan.
Agreed. That's true.
Because this is a black city and we need to have black superheroes. And I'm glad that they drafted a black quarterback who was swag the fuck up, who gonna get his chance to watch Kirk Cousins play, because only 2 years is guaranteed.
That's it.
True.
The other three ain't, other two, three, third and fourth year aren't. So, nigga, plus Kirk Cousins, you know you got the fuck over.
Yeah.
I was just, I can't imagine somebody give me $180 million and then they doing something and I'm like, I'm appalled by these people.
What? I just got $180.
I got $180 fucking million. I love you, Arthur Blank. I don't know what you're doing with that, but I know it's in my favor because you wouldn't give me $180 million if it wasn't.
I just hope he don't get caught up in Atlanta and end up on Magic City on a Monday, you know?
No. we don't need no quarterbacks in
Magic City. Dream is gonna bring it home. Every time.
Okay, we gonna hear about this. I'm telling y'all. Remember, yeah. I said it.
He will be there. I mean, but he ain't gotta work.
Okay, so let's talk about being rich. So prom this season is going so overboard. These looks, the money parents been spending on the prom. So as a parent, what would be like your budget on your son or daughter's prom? How would you feel? What do you feel about? And what do you feel about these new, like the kids going all out for the prom?
You have kids. Mm-hmm. I think he's a okay. father.
Yeah, Rick's, I got a 14-year-old daughter, so I'm thinking about it. Like,
I got a 15-year-old son.
Even like, the dresses they wear. You know, just.
I mean, I feel you should splurge a little bit because it's something that only happens once, right?
So right, it's like, an accomplishment.
This is going to happen. What's the next big thing? You're going to graduate from college, and then the next big life event is probably marriage if you have a daughter.
Yep.
So as a father looking at that, I'm like, okay. You know, it's not. This isn't wedding money, and it's not you graduating with a degree money, but it's... I want to make sure you have a nice night. I probably, if we were to put a dollar amount on it, I'm not sure. I'm not going to spend 10 bands on it or nothing. Like, I don't know if people are doing that. Or
yeah, they're definitely.
Maybe they're doing a little more than that.
That's why I want somebody else to go first.
This is Atlanta.
I want to make sure that they're safe on that night. So I'm going to give them a driver, the driver that has a good credibility. They're going to have a nice driver. Obviously, the dress is probably up to her and the mom. They can figure that out. I'm gonna vet the kid she going with and hope I know that, man.
I ain't gonna lie, Chosen. You are 7'2", 300 pounds. You ain't gonna vet a motherfucking person.
You just open the door. The door when they knock.
Imagine coming to get Chosen.
Have my daughter home by 11.
Got that one more point factor. You are a wrestler, my nigga. Like, it's not a, you ain't even a wrestler, bro. You are 7'2", 300 pound wrestler tomorrow. I just wanna vet the guy. Yeah. Nigga, you are the vet. You are the vet, nigga. What? You know dad, 7'2". Oh, fuck. You look at your dad. Your dad's 6'1". You like, he'll beat me and your ass, daddy. Your ass. Daddy's a wrestler, by the way. We forgot about that.
Yeah, whoever guy she brings to the prom, he better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna answer. I think fathers should spend all the money they can on their daughters.
Oh my God, that is so sweet.
Because the only way we prevent our daughters from thinking that love is a man giving them money is showing them that they can get money from somebody that they don't have to earn the love from. And to me, my son, that's my dog. Whatever little Remy want to do, I got his back. You know, like, whatever you want to do, I got his back. That's my dog. If he tell me, my son the type of person to be like, Dad, I don't need all that.
Right.
Or if he say he really want it, I know it means to him, so I don't mind spending. My daughter, though, I think I spent $10,000 on her fifth birthday party. I'm lying. I spent $20,000.
Oh, wow.
Because it took $10,000 to get everybody to Disney World.
Oh yeah.
But that, then yeah. She wanted her. She was a prince.
She wanted the princess
she liked, Tiffany. What's the black princess she liked?
Tiana.
Uh-huh. Nigga, Disney charges $5,000 for Tiana to show up.
Oh, wow.
And then another like $2,000 or $3,000 for the food and all the other shit. She was five and she cried the whole motherfucking time.
I know she did.
I was so mad, nigga. I was like, you better fucking at least smile once.
Right.
My sister, my daughter, my niece, Lala was taking all. They was just having fun. I'm pissed. I'm like, I just paid this motherfucker. And it was like, Tiana comes for 1 hour for $5,000. I'm like, Miyoki, go. I don't want to. Oh my gosh, she's moving.
She's scared of her. Oh,
she's in a cartoon. She's alive. She was scared. But I think listen, man. As a parent, I don't think there's too many people in the world that work as hard as me. My only mission working hard is to make sure that my kid's life is better.
For sure.
I'm not gonna buy my daughter a Gucci dress for her 11th grade prom.
Yeah.
But whatever the fuck she wants,
she gonna get.
Yeah. And there's gonna be somebody in the car taking them to and from.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Chaperone.
Because you know what goes down after prom.
Security, I was on.
See?
And that's exactly why somebody will be in the car.
I gotta keep my daughter. Listen, I'm telling you guys, and I don't want to get deep, but I'm being honest with you. There is, as a man, and the two men I would love for you guys to weigh in, as a man, not just with women, but I'm going to speak about women. we can meet a woman and tell when her father's in her life.
Yeah.
It's like, am I tripping? It's just like the way she makes you talk to her. You ain't calling no chick my whatever, shut up, bitch, and her father's active in her life.
No, you're not doing
that. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. You ain't. So to me, I think that we got to let the daddies be more involved. And it's the godfather question. We got to let the daddies be involved because as a father, nigga, I just want to protect my daughter. Shaka Zulu told me, he was like, bro, I put my daughter flew first class before me. My daughter has flown private jets because of me. My daughter's been all over the world because of me. So whatever man she meets,
he's going to have to compare to
he can impress her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All he can do is love her and make her happy. Because my daddy impressed me already. So this is, it's not even being impressed. This is normal.
Yeah.
It's like my life is, like Miyoki is 7. Miyoki has never flown coach in her life.
Yeah.
My daughter's never, and will not. Will tell you, I'm not doing that. Daddy, I'm not. You told me I'm a princess.
Right. Okay.
And I did. And that's why I kill myself every day to make sure. I used to lie about my dad. My sister right there. I used to lie and tell people my dad was doing things that he wasn't doing. Because I loved him so much. I just didn't want nobody looking at him like he was nothing.
Yeah.
Nigga. And I promised myself. When my kids are, because we all been kids on the playground bragging on our daddy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that one kid that like, I don't know, but mine? And when my kids start bragging on me, I'm going to shit on the other friend's daddy.
Yeah, that's love.
I can't lie. Right. It's just who I am as a man. Like,
yeah.
Like I want their kid's daddy going to be like, well, we're not Miyoki and we're not her father. Because to me, that's my princess.
Yeah, as a mom, I always say it's very important for a dad to be in their daughter's life. It's like one of the most important things. That's one thing as a mom that I stand for.
It's important for a daddy. It's important for a daddy to raise his kids.
To raise his kids, yeah.
When women say a dad should be in their kid's life, that means based on when I want you there. And there are moments where he needs to be there that you don't realize he needs to be there.
Right.
Because nothing is, like Chris Rock said, nothing is scarier than don't make me call your dad.
Yeah.
Don't make me call your dad.
And that's crazy because that was never like scary to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nigga, I just had a whole, I was up at 3 in the morning, some family drama last night. And I was in the room talking to Lil Raymond at 3 in the morning. And guess what, nigga? It was, his mom was like, I ain't dealing
with
shit.
My mom was the one I was scared of.
I'm like, what the fuck is the problem? Then he just looked at me and he told me what it was and we talked it out. I'm like, bro, so having a boy is different. So my son, he can get what he wants if he wants it. But my daughter, I'm going to give a thing. Like my daughter just, bro, I shot a music video.
That was so
Friday,
cute.
Friday, her and all her friends were in here. I had 15 little girls in here recording a song.
And they snapped.
And we shot and we shot a music video for it. Like that didn't really cost me a lot, but I just want to go big for my kids, man.
That's love.
I feel like if we make a big deal out of them, they're not going to need that from the world.
For sure.
Most people that I meet, most women that I meet, most of the time, usually they're trying to get the men that they meet to play the role that their daddy didn't play.
Yeah.
That's why women call you daddy so quick.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I definitely have some daddies.
We're only 2 weeks in. Let's call me step daddy.
Oh, so you don't like the daddy part? You don't like the daddy
part? I love it. We 3 months in, we in love. But you smart, nigga, you just met me and I'm daddy, bitch. You want some money. I already know what's up. I just tell you, I already know what's up. I mean, it's hard out here. It's hard out here and these chicks out here want money.
Yeah.
They want money. That's all they want. They don't even give a fuck about you.
Transactional.
They don't give a fuck about you. They just want money.
Yeah, they just want money.
Because women want to stun on other women, unfortunately. See, I don't want to stun on other niggas. I just want to make money so women can think I'm cool.
Yeah. They definitely think you're cool.
I want to stun on y'all niggas. I ain't never walked in and be like,
what?
Don't ever do that. Like, women can't wait to walk in and be like,
what?
Bitch, you could never.
You could never. I'm telling you.
They start stepping hard and all everything.
Nigga, you a trophy. You a trophy. My nigga is 7'2", 3, that wrestler. Boy, yeah, you got any friends? His brother's 5'9". Fuck
yeah,
him.
The brother.
I'm the 5'9 brother. They said fuck me. Fuck him.
I'm 7'2". What you gonna do with my 5'9"?
What?
Oh, man.
Oh, he must got different daddies or something. They twins like Danny DeVito and motherfucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You stupid.
I ain't your motherfucking brother, nigga. Your little short ass.
Is your brother's a tall too, right?
Yeah, well, 6'4", 6'2", yeah.
Okay.
Are
they married?
You said they was physical with you.
Yeah.
How the fuck you get so much taller than everybody?
I mean, my dad is 6'7", my mom's 6', so I feel like they got the shorter end of it.
Oh,
I mean,
your mom is 6'?
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom, my sister, 14-year-old, she 5'11 already.
What?
What? Oh, she's taller than me?
Tall jeans, yeah.
14? 5'11?
You need some boys.
Yeah.
You make some good basketball players.
Uh-oh.
See how women think, hey, went to me and went to investment.
We raised some good young men. He's a good he'll play basketball. Tall, man. We're gonna have some kids with this nigga.
Day one, I'm putting a basketball in your face. We already know where this is going.
Do you have anything to cover?
Huh?
You have anything to cover?
No, nothing to cover. We wrapping up.
Yeah.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jordan.
Steve Harvey was talking about you gotta play the game.
Oh yeah, I said that to everybody. You're right. So it's this clip about with Steve Harvey, and I want to dissect. I'm glad you brought that up. So it's a clip with Steve Harvey and Monique was going at it, and Steve Harvey was telling Monique, like, you got to play the game if you want to get some money. This ain't about black and white. You know, Monique was going through the drama, and Monique was like, I'm all about integrity. And I remember people was like calling him a coon or calling her stupid, and that was pissing me off because I'm like, it's just the game we want to play. Steve Harvey's plan is do you want to be owned or do you want to be freed? It's that simple. Monique is free, so she don't want to be owned. So she speaks from a free standpoint. Like, I'd rather have my integrity and not make money with you than to make money with you and you treat me a certain way. And Steve Harvey is like, man, you better take what you can get to get the money. Both of them are rich. Both of them are wildly successful. And both of them are happy in their place. So when I didn't like that Steve Harvey was trying to impose his ways on her, especially a black woman, that was down.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I understand it was for TV, but I feel like you should have let her get it out. Meanwhile, by the way, it's old, but like, I just hate to see black women getting crucified in public. I just think they've had it hard forever, and they just now get into this place where they're getting they degrees, they starting business and everything, and I just feel like if I'm going to school somebody, I'm going to school them privately. I ain't going to never chastise somebody that's on my success level.
Right. And then as Monique being a successful actress, you know, you don't know what she's been through, what's the men, you know, what's
yeah, but it's what trauma. It's what she expects, though. It's like me telling Rick, do it like this. He's like, nigga, this is how I do it. Yeah. I don't got to do it like you. Like, what I do work for me, what you do work for you. And not only that, maybe it's just me. I don't think black women should have to play the money game. I think black men have to, obviously, because, you know, we are the providers, but... Nigga, we should be doing good enough to make sure our women don't have to play no game, but the game that
we
give them.
I know that's right, because we definitely got to play the game. It's a game, eat game, dog eat dog world out here.
I mean, it's a lot of shit you got to make changes in the game. Sabrina, I mean, there's a lot of fucking changes you have to make, my nigga, in the game.
It is.
If you want to play it the way they're playing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to just get out there and do it. But that's just my thought. I appreciate that, Jordan. I wanted to talk about that, because I hate to see black women being crucified publicly or being placed in a position where they're being chastised. I'm not saying don't chastise y'all, but I don't think it should ever be in public.
No, for
like,
sure.
I don't give a fuck what's going on in the world. Me and my sister could be beefing at the top of our lungs. I will talk to her home. I'll never talk to her like
that's
that
a fact.
In front of the world, because I love her, and me talking to her like that makes other people think well, shit, your brother can talk to her like that.
So
nigga.
Do you think that he was trying to say in the more like a business perspective? Like,
was speaking from the perspective of a... I hate to say this, but it's just how I talk. He was speaking from the perspective of an owned nigga, right? Like, a lot of these niggas is owned. So let me tell you what I mean by owned. If you can't say certain things because a brand will cut you, owned. I can't do certain things, or you know if you make a mistake, you're going to lose some money, that's because you owned.
Okay.
Meanwhile, like, I give you an example. Like, Kevin Hart is owned, Dave Chappelle is free.
Right.
They both wildly successful, but I'd much rather be Chappelle. I'm not dancing that in no part. Motherfucking video, no music, no commercial to entertain nobody. I'm just not going to dance on no commercial. I'll dance with my fans, but I'm not dancing on a commercial for nobody. Right. Especially a Chase Bank. Yeah. Why the fuck is Kevin Hart dancing in a Chase Bank commercial? And I'm not dissing them. I'm just saying, why are you dancing like that? That's probably because of what they requested.
Yeah.
And they probably paid you a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
That's great, by the way. Good for you, but I'd rather work with Green Dot Bank, Killer Mike and them Bank, and help make that shit hot and build that up, and know that if I say something wrong, they're gonna be like, "That's our nigga."
Yeah, right.
We
right.
knew what we signed. We got him. So Steve Harvey is owned. Monique is not. Steve Harvey gets his money from corporations, from Family Feud, from radio deals, from deals with major corporations. Yeah. Monique is she's out here free of it.
Yeah.
And by the way, we being honest with you, she's 10 times more talented than Steve Harvey.
10 times more talented.
That bitch can act her ass off.
Precious.
That motherfucker is cold. And to me, and we got to stop making black women difficult. And if we're going to make them feel difficult, let's pull them to the side and give them a perspective that shows them why they're difficult. Let's not chastise them publicly, because we've seen how black women react to that, because they ain't taking no shit.
Not at all.
And they're going to go at your ass. And for me, I just didn't like that shit. Especially me being a nigga that made money, being owned, and now being free. Because I was on that once. Nigga, I couldn't say certain shit. I said something. I pissed some people off.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know I was because I thought we was all friends, but I was owned. I didn't know it. So it all depends on what you want to be. You want to be owned or you want to be free? Owned for people, sure. Both of them got great lives, by the way. It's just free is a lot more stressful.
Yeah. So does she still get like roles and stuff? Because
yeah, but I mean, Monique can go make $10 million a year doing tours right now.
That's fine. That's cool with me.
Steve Harvey don't want to do tours no more.
Right.
That's cool.
Steve Harvey's not even doing stand-up comedy no more. He's not even doing that.
Steve Harvey's corporate.
He's corporate.
Yeah, he's corporate.
So he's a corporate nigga that's owned by these white folks, telling the black woman who's dealing with fighting these white folks, you can't act like that with them. That wasn't
cool. So you already know who he's working for.
We know. Everyone knows.
He's working for the other
people. But it's not cool, though. It's just not cool. And I love Steve Harvey. That's one of my idols. But nigga, don't chastise no black woman because you don't want nobody to do that to your daughters.
At all.
And you will probably do it to them behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna bring their ass on Family Feud and curse them out. You know what I'm saying? See, I wouldn't touch on that. So we good.
Yeah.
By the way, bro, I want to do something different. I don't know why. I love wrestling, and I'm watching everybody get excited about it. It's just an exciting. We could do something else. I don't know what it is, but it's me really and Dave be texting. Nigga, please. I could be your Bobby the Brain Heenan. Walking out of the aisle saying, take his bitch. I dare you.
It's a fact.
Maybe we should go to one of his shows.
Yeah, whatever's his time. By the way, I bring my kids. I love to.
I definitely would do that.
But
yeah, me too.
I love, but I'm going to just give you your props. I love the fact that you're doing something that it just feels so far away. It's like being a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Like, it's like things you say in the room where they like, what, nigga? You say you want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, it's like a outlandish
goal. Yeah, it's almost like, how do you even start? You know, got them niggas like, body slam me then, nigga.
I'll never let him body slam me.
I just think it's important because to showcase black people doing things that are not the typical rap, sing, dance. We can do a whole lot more. So I just want to give you props for that, bro, because I ain't gonna lie, this is one of the fun, most entertaining conversations I've had because it's like, damn, how does wrestling work?
Yeah, it's bringing you back to when you were a kid watching it.
And I knew it was fake, and I love to see him fuck up. I love to see him fuck up.
The cool thing is, like, you're supposed to not have it memorized, but we go through spots before we start, right? But the only people who know those spots are me and you. So there ain't real no messing up unless you're just not in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, if we say, hey, I'm going to start off, I'm going to clothesline you. You're going to hit the ropes. You're going to duck one. If you don't duck, they don't know that you're not supposed to duck. You know what I mean?
Oh, I got more questions.
I'm sorry. Stop this shit. Shut it down.
I got a couple more questions.
Okay.
So is the entire... Because the main matches. Like, of course, you got those little 7-minute matches.
Like a pay-per-view?
Pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. 20-minute
match. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Rock the Rock.
Sure.
Championship belt. Okay. They about to fight for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
The whole 45 minutes to choreograph?
No. So it would be impossible to do that because you're in the music industry. You know about dancing.
That's
how long
point.
It takes them to choreograph a 3-minute dance. It takes weeks.
But they do 45-minute shows. But I'm saying, what they usually do is they usually bring it okay, this is a song y'all dance on.
Right.
This is a song where y'all dance on while I go to the back, change my clothes. But in that, it's like... When you say clothesline, so do they have like base moves? Like, I'm trying to figure out how I want to say it where it's like, all right, cool, we know how the fight's going to end.
Yeah, so usually you'll start with the finish and work your way back to the beginning. Like, some guys like to do it differently, but we'll be like, okay.
I was gonna say, because you know how the fight's going
to
end.
Yeah, so it's usually easier to work back that way. But like, there's a structure to the match, you know what I'm saying? So like, we have to establish who's good and bad. And that'd be easy if it was me against you or if you hear my music or whatever. So we want to establish that between the fans. So they got to know who they want to. They're going to cheer for the baby face or the heel.
Or the kill?
Or the heel. The heel.
Baby face or heel. Okay.
Yeah. Is that a move?
No, the heel is just a bad guy.
That's what they
good
refer
guy,
to.
Good guy, bad guy.
Oh, baby face is good guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, we want to establish that. You're going to know who you want to cheer for at the beginning. Yeah. So we're going to get that over somehow. If it's me coming in and going to shake your hand and say, fuck that, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, something like that. Or something cheap. A heel will do something cheap, and you're like, okay, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, the baby face would never do... Yeah, he cheat. So basically, the idea is like, the heel's not supposed to be as good as a wrestler, so I have to cheat to win.
Yes.
The babyface is supposed to be a better wrestler. So a lot of matches will start with a lot of technical wrestling. You'll see these arm ringers and these holds and stuff like that. So that's to show, look, this babyface is a more technical wrestler. He's a better wrestler than him. He's going to have to cheat to get over on him somehow. And then that'll transition into the heat, we call it. So that's me doing my thing. I just beat the shit out of you.
Okay.
And we'll.
Oh, wow.
The heat is never really called. Like, I might tell you, if I wanted to powerbomb you in the heat, I'll probably warn you and tell you that, because you don't want to just be taking strikes and punches, a couple clotheslines, and then all of a sudden I pick you up and powerbomb you. So I'll be like, bro, so sometime in the heat, I'm going to powerbomb you.
Oh, wow.
And that can last minutes.
And y'all kind of talk to each other, don't you? Like,
we can talk, like, but you, so it's not best to talk in there. Like obviously,
I'll be seeing him do it. I see him talking in.
A little bit. Movements, like taps, like somebody, like, the yes, hold we him have little things. Tap on the arm or something like that. If you know he's coming, or he'll do something like this. Like, yeah.
A lot of the communication is between the ref. The ref is helping us talk. Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's kind of like a little hidden thing, too.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how much of this I'm supposed to be telling you.
That's incredible, nigga. Look at my face.
Yo, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I'm like, what the
ref is in on it.
Well, I never knew that.
So, but just looking at a structure of a match, so say we're in the heat, you're getting beat up for a while, I give you the power bomb. At some point, we're going to call it a cutoff. So at some point, you're going to start coming back.
Yes.
So as long as we know this structure and we call a few spots within the heat and the comeback and the, you know, we can work a way through it. Like, it's not all going to be memorized, but if you want to do something really cool, like a cool sequence, you're going to have to talk through it first.
So I got a question for you, because last one, I promise you, we could play it like a game if you want, but I've just, you said babyface and heel.
Yeah.
And as you start saying that, I start thinking, obviously Hulk Hogan was a babyface, right? And, you know, but there are wrestlers that I'm like, was The Rock a babyface or a heel?
He was both. And so was Stone Cold. Stone Cold was both.
No, I was going to go to him first.
Stone Cold is a babyface now that, you know, but the whole story with Vince, now you're beating up your boss.
Yes.
So
that's what made him. Like, that's what made him the babyface. Because it almost like he was beating up his boss
Vince
that they knew was a bad
they made
guy.
Vince into the heel. Yeah.
So what was Ric Flair?
Both also. So like,
because I feel like the great wrestlers are both. That's what I was trying to get to.
So they call it a heel change or a babyface turn. Like, so. It just depends on how the storyline's going.
Because I would say WWF, it's hard called WWE. WWE really didn't have good or bad guys. That's what made Vince McMahon so brilliant. Yeah. He almost made them like movie characters where you kind of cheer for the bad guy. Like, Old Dog was a bad guy in Menace to Society, but you want to see him win still because you understood he just didn't give a fuck and he was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So when I look at wrestling, I'm like, damn, you guys really had like double, like Razor Ramon, what the fuck was he?
But what's crazy is the fans kind of decided, right? You can write all the script you want. It's how this stadium is going to react to it.
Yes.
You want them to boo you, but if they start cheering you, you're the face now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's strange how the crowd can control it.
Funniest moment in wrestling to me was Booker T did that interview. No, he said, and I'm coming for you, nigga.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that.
He fucked up because he was in his mouth. He was like, man, he was really coming out. And we were getting the ring, and I'm telling you, I'm coming for you, nigga. Glad he wasn't white. It would have been a way different reaction, but I'm glad he was black. But
Booker T.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I could talk wrestling with you all day. I'm not gonna bore everybody because I love wrestling. Yeah, and you made me realize how much I love it more. I'm gonna try to get back into it. I'm gonna watch AWE so they can't get mad if you said something. AEW. Yeah, I'm gonna watch AEW now just because of this conversation. I'm really interested now because now I have an insider's view, so I really wanna see, did the ref say something?
Yeah. That's the first thing
I'm looking for. That's the illest shit I've heard.
First thing I'm looking for.
Perfect time to start watching, too. Like, we have a new champion, black men's champion and black female champion. So, like, both our the belts are on two colored faces, which is
nice. They come on TBS.
TBS and TNT, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. Swerve Strickland is our men's champ. He's a
by the way, cool character. If you're watching this, check out AEW. Even if it's just because Chosen made it so interesting. Yeah, like, I ain't gonna lie. I'm like, dog, I damn near want to go see if I got it on demand somewhere now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch it that bad because of these conversations. Like,
well, Ray, you know, we had got invited to an event.
Okay, Jack.
All right. That was random.
Thank you.
That was random, but Jack Dance had to be her.
Wrap it up.
KG looking at him like, nigga. She don't even say that N-word. Okay. By the way, this is the Coast Report. Shout out to, by the way, Chosen. I swear, Dave, we're going to talk. I want to figure out a way to do something that makes it interesting and fun. I don't know what that is, but like, I want to do something, bro, because I love your personality, I love how freely you talk about it. And I think it's a good time now because – like we know what it is now. We just kind of, it's like the NBA. It's like, I spend 6 hours a day on the NBA. Why? Because I'm going to watch two games at night, and then I'm going to watch First Take in the morning.
In the morning.
Yeah. Right.
So this is kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like that. That's why I like that. Well, okay, KJ, I'm going to roll up. Wrap up. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to our sponsors, Toten Carry. I'm about to say Toten Carry. Shout out to our sponsors, Toten Carry. Shout out to Yoko Vodka, and also shout out to Two Loss Distribution. And shout out to you. Like, share, subscribe. And let's all give a round of applause for Chosen coming on this platform.
Shout out to Chosen.
He has an open invitation, and Dave lives, we live in the same building, so we're going to run into each other. He has an open invitation. Let's figure out what we could do. But this was fun.
Yes.
It was way more fun than I expected it to be.
It was very fun. Cause
you know, you don't see wrestlers as a human, you just see him as a character. So, and I would pay money to have a conversation with Stone Cold just to hear. I don't even drink beer, I'll drink a beer with that nigga.
I'm drinking the whole 12 pack one right there. Whole 12 pack.
Just to do it with a nigga, I'll do it. We are out.
Woo!
Sorry.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.